Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
All right, speaking of knockouts, the Los Angeles Lakers got knocked out the box last night by the Denver Nuggets.
I wasn't surprised that Denver won.
117-85, I believe, was the score.
Right, but it was ugly.
It was ugly.
We didn't welcome in the crew, or we just straight to the show?
Go ahead, welcome in the crew.
Well, I just wanted to say,
the only one here is Rob G.
Well, Rob G is here by our side, our producer.
Right, he's here at the hotel with us.
That's right, and back at home, we got Alex, our engineer, Deb Carson, our anchor, and Kyla is the intern. So we are in full effect, and Rob G, we appreciate you being out here holding our hands the whole way through. All right, so LeBron James was a no-show. He didn't come to Denver. Go ahead. You know he did.
He was a no-show?
He was a no-show. He had 14 points. He was a no-show.
How about that? How about he just had a bad game?
That was a standalone game LeBron didn't care about and wasn't going to fight and put up a fight or anything. Those games like that.
He put up 10 points in the first quarter.
And then that was it?
He went out there ready to play. I think he just was fatigued. Denver, it's obviously a higher altitude.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
His whole career, he hasn't been great there. He's 7-8 there in his career. His scoring average, his rebounding average, his field goal percentage is lower than his career averages in those statistical
categories.
Ask
Carmelo Anthony. He played pretty well in Denver when he
was
there.
Yeah, he got him to – you the man. It's all about winning championships.
I didn't say anything last night was about
Mello?
A championship, but I said
Melo
put up better numbers than 14 points in that performance. That was terrible. This is what I was talking about on Undisputed with Skip and Shannon on Tuesday. I don't care about this. They had won 7 out of 9. They're frauds.
And the only
the only teams they beat are bad teams, and that stretch of 7 out of 9.
They beat Portland
when they were 4-0. Yes, they did win a couple games, but I'm talking about during this current streak where people are trying to make it like the Lakers have turned a corner. They haven't turned any corner. You identified the schedule as weak, and if they weren't winning these games, Chris, they weren't going to win any games. They won 7 out of 9. Only one game they won during that stretch was against a team over 500. They go on the road against a good Denver team. Denver team that's 8-3 at home, was 8-3 going into that game at home. And they got run out the gym.
So instead of it being one game and a bad night, you're going to make a whole big deal out of this loss. Like now they're frauds. Now they're not.
I said
legit.
They were frauds before the game. I said it.
So is everybody in the Western Conference a fraud outside of Golden State?
No, I'm not saying they're all frauds, but
I mean,
the Lakers
could be as good as anybody else.
No, the Lakers.
Who's definitively better in the West?
The Lakers won 35 games a year ago, and they added
the best player in the world.
And you know what? It hasn't made that big of a difference.
Really?
No.
They're 11-8.
Not 11-9.
And 11-9, and you're disappointed. You just said last year they won 35 games. That's a heck of a jump.
All they're going to do – are you kidding? No, because once they start playing the better teams, that record will flop
last
back.
Last year they were
playing nobody.
Six games under 500.
Seven wins.
Now they're 2 over, but he hasn't made a difference.
No, he hasn't to
really?
Me. Nope. He hasn't made a big enough difference to me with this squad. Not yet.
Who in the Western Conference?
I'm not worried about that. Let's talk about the Lakers.
Definitively better. I mean, I'm just saying. So is everybody in the West fraud except Golden State?
Golden State's going to win the championship.
Definitively better.
All I know is the Lakers aren't nearly where they should be with LeBron James. I'm not saying it's all of his thought, but Brandon Ingram hasn't played up to his potential. Would you admit that? Lonzo Ball's been up and down. These young guys were supposed to excel and get better with LeBron. That's all I heard before
Hold
the preseason.
You
and none of that's happened.
You picked them to finish 7th in the West.
Yes, that's where they're
going
to be.
That's where they are right now.
And that's where they're going to be.
So how are they frauds? They're exactly where you thought
frauds
they'd be.
Frauds from the thing that people think, like Chris Broussard, that they're like the second best team in the West. And
who is the second best team in the West?
And you said they were
going
to be 50. Houston's going to wind up being the second best
Houston
team in the West.
Houston isn't even in the playoffs
you ready?
Right now.
What do you want?
I know it's early, but my goodness. goodness. You
Chris,
love
tell me
Houston?
Right now.
Haven't they lost three straight or two straight?
Three straight. But tell me, so you're telling me they're not going to be in one of the top four teams in the Western Conference?
They're going to be a playoff
team. I'm asking you right now.
I would say they'll be one of the top four.
Okay, then. And
but I'm saying the Lakers will be one of the top four, too.
What? They're not going to be.
Why not? They got the best player in the world and a decent supporting cast.
Not good enough.
Who's better?
I'm not
going
through
the whole. Are they going to be behind the L.A. Clippers?
Right now they are. The Clippers are playing well. Denver's
better
than them.
Oklahoma City, Memphis, I mean.
I got.
The West is open, man.
I got OKC better. OKC's going to be better. Houston's going to be better. And Denver's going to be better. Those are your top four. And then you can start looking at Utah rebound. I gave you the top four.
You don't even know a player that plays for Denver.
Yes, I do.
You're praising who?
Doug Moe's the coach, right? I like Denver.
Look, why you – Rob, you know you have covered the NBA since the 80s.
1987.
Right. So you're going to make one big deal out of this game. Rather than looking at it as one of 82, you're going to treat it like it was a darn playoff game.
I just thought that was another game against a good team on the road. You're streaking, Chris. That's all I'm saying, right? You've won 7 out of 9. If you're really turning a corner – you go to Denver and win that game.
No, you're Why gonna
not?
Lose games.
Why?
When Golden State lost 4 or 5, did you fall? You know, think they were falling off the earth?
There's a
were
difference.
They frauds?
There's a difference. They've won back-to-back championships. This Laker team didn't make the playoffs last
Houston,
year and aren't good enough.
What's Houston won? Why are you so confident in their resurrection?
They had the best record in the Western Conference a year
and
ago.
And that'll get you what, Mr. Championship or bust?
No, that and 250 will get you on the subway. That's
all right,
about
so
it.
Then why are you praising them?
But all I'm saying is that they got a better track record than what the Lakers have. Everybody talked about the Lakers.
They don't have
the
a
corner.
Better track record than LeBron James. That's the faith. The faith is not in Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo
LeBron,
Ball.
LeBron can't
the
do it.
The faith is in LeBron James.
No, it's not, because all the time he falters. What is the biggest complaint? That he doesn't have anybody, Chris. You can't have it both ways if it's all about LeBron. Why did they lose
LeBron
in the finals
gets
then?
Plenty of criticism.
No, why did they lose then if it's about LeBron, faith in
because
LeBron?
Because they lost to a better team.
No, because LeBron can't win it by himself.
Nobody's saying they're going to win the whole thing.
You
got to
win
it
55 games, and they're going to the finals.
53. Get it right. And going to the second round is what I said.
You know, you just.
Now I'm thinking, though, they should be thinking Western Conference Finals.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
You check things all the time, like your email or social media. But Discover asks, what about checking something as important as your credit score? Well, Discover makes it quick and easy with their credit scorecard, which is free for everyone, even if you're not a customer. See your FICO credit score and other important credit information. And once you know your score, you should check to see if your current credit card is the best fit for you. Learn more at discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's get to some football, Rob. Baker Mayfield.
Your guy.
He got everybody's panties in a bunch. A few days ago, Sunday.
You like
exact.
That now. Now Chris is using – here's the minister of all people using panties in a bunch.
What, what's wrong with saying panties in a bunch?
No,
you
I'm just
like
saying.
That's some crazy phrase.
You know that it's true, right?
Right. He got your panties in a bunch. And Hugh Jackson's and Damian Woody's and Colin Cowherd's.
Now, Damian
and
Woody's panties got to be pretty big, don't you think?
I like Damian. I'm going to leave that. I'm going to leave that alone.
Leave that one out.
But anyway, he didn't want to shake Hugh Jackson's hand, or he did shake his hand, but didn't want to give him a hug after the game when Baker led the Browns to a big victory over Cincinnati, where Hugh Jackson, of course, the former Browns coach, started the season as their head coach, was fired, and now is an assistant on the staff.
But I got
with
news.
The Bengals.
I got news for Baker, who's walking around and strutting, feeling good about himself. The Bengals had fired their defensive coordinator like a week or so before because that defense was so god-awful. They gave up 500 or more yards, Chris, in 3 straight games, which had never been done in the NFL. So Baker should have gone there and had his way because that defense is reeling. So before you get all high and mighty and think that, look at what I did. They had my coach there and I rubbed it in his face. just understand that other teams have been beating up the Bengals too.
Yeah, they've definitely gone into free fall. But Baker doubled down. I remember he criticized Hugh for going to Cincinnati, which I have no problem with what Hugh did, but Baker criticized
Hugh and
said
he
was in our locker room getting us to play for him, and now he's somewhere else telling him what we do. And he got criticized for it, and Baker doubled down today and basically said, I'm not apologizing for calling Hugh Jackson fake. Here it is.
People took it as me personally attacking Hugh. That's not it. It's the fact that I get to have my own opinion on how it transpired, and he gets to do what he wants. That's how it is. Although I'm an athlete, I'm not a cookie-cutter quarterback. Never have been, never will be. I speak my mind. It's how I am. So I didn't like the move, and people don't have to care. I mean, I'm not looking for anybody's approval. I don't regret any of it. You know, it's about this team and what we have, and we have to stick together and play together.
Look, as I said, I had no problem with Hugh Jackson going to the Cincinnati Bengals. He got fired. He wanted to get a job. And he may be in line to be the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals one day, and one day soon, maybe. So I have no problem with that. But I have no problem with what Baker said. Look, Baker was giving his honest feelings. Whether I disagree or not, I like it when an athlete is honest. And I like the fact that he didn't backtrack to be politically correct. Like you see a lot of athletes and people in general who really don't mean they're sorry. They really don't regret what they said. They're just doing it to keep the heat off their tails. This rookie stepped in there and said, okay, you're bringing the heat to me, so what? I don't need anybody's approval. This is who I am. This is who I've always been. And this is how I'm going to lead this team. Now,
but you know what, Chris? I'm going to push back, because the one thing you got to be very careful, Hugh Jackson, whether you liked him or not, or you thought he didn't want you to be a quarterback, is a respected guy in the NFL who has a lot of friends around the league, been around a lot, respected by a lot of players. And when this young kid who hasn't done anything in the NFL shows up and disrespects an honest man who's done nothing wrong, who was fired, that can come back on you. And I think that's the cocky part that somebody else in the league can take exception to. I think that's where he's wrong. Hugh Jackson has done nothing wrong to Baker Mayfield to be disrespected and acted as if he's done something wrong. Or when he transferred from school to school that he moved on, Hugh Jackson was fired. Let's just keep it clear. This makes no sense to me why he's attacking a man of this stature, a man who's been coached all over the NFL, and a man who coached multiple teams in this league.
I think that part of the respect is
something that's bad for Baker Mayfield, and other players might take a look at it to say,
Rob,
why
really?
Don't you have, yes.
You think, I don't think players are going to do that.
I'm just telling
it's
you.
It's a dog-eat-dog
no,
league.
No.
You know that. It's like protect
he
your
He thinks
neck.
That he's better than other people and that he has some sort of privilege.
What superstar, and he's not even a superstar, but what superstar
but that's
doesn't?
That's my point.
Think he's better than anybody else. I mean, seriously, this is what these guys do.
Needs to stop. Go look at Hugh Jackson's resume before he acts like this guy's some bum off the street.
First of all, he didn't call him a bum. I like Hugh. I like him as a person, and I'm with you.
Can you look at his resume?
Hold on, let's not bring up his resume. Because all I got to do is bring up, 2-32 or whatever his record was.
That has nothing to do with it.
That does.
No,
that's his head coaching record.
No, it doesn't.
In his last stop. So let's not act like
that has
like
nothing to do
Vince
with
Lombardi.
Whether or not you respect the guy who was fired, Chris.
He can say
it's
whatever
terrible.
He wants.
It's terrible.
He can say
no,
whatever
he can.
He wants.
No,
really?
He can.
Really? Why not? Why not?
And people can push back on his head.
And they can.
Because he's just
he
a bratty,
say,
cocky
what?
Kid
oh,
who hasn't done anything in the NFL. He's won a couple of games against some bad teams, and he thinks that he's the all high and mighty, and he can talk to anybody anyway. Screw Baker Mayfield.
All I'm saying is he can do what he wants.
No, he can't.
I respect the fact that he's standing up for what he believes and not backing down.
And I'm telling you,
that's the type of person he's always been. That's what got him from a kid that was hardly recruited in high school, from a walk-on to the Heisman Trophy to the first pick in the draft. I get why. Again, I don't agree with that. You know me. I wouldn't do that. I would respect Hugh Jackson. But I'm just saying this is who this kid is. Now, you got to back it up. Believe that. You better come out and you better play good football. You better eventually play great football when you talk like this.
He's played three or four games that are decent, a lot of other games that aren't.
All I'm saying is the
bravado and the conversation and what he's saying to me is ridiculous for a guy who just hasn't done anything yet.
It's who he is, man.
Well, it's bad. And you know what? It makes people only wish that that guy is karma. That only bad stuff can happen to him.
Stop it.
I'm telling you.
Only bad stuff? Didn't he just win a Heisman Trophy?
I'm just telling you.
Wasn't he the first pick in the draft?
As we go further on.
Didn't he get the starting position?
As we go further on,
just remember
that.
Doesn't he have people in Cleveland naming their babies Baker?
Yeah, just remember that.
I don't see no bad karma yet.
Okay. Remember this. We'll revisit this when he gets his block knocked off by somebody. and then they'll tell him, that's for Hugh. I'd love a play to do that.
You really think you think
that's
players go ride or die like that?
I'm telling you.
This is nothing against you. And this is not even, again, you know the type of person
he's
I am.
He's a brat.
I wouldn't do what he's doing. But this is who he is. This is who he is.
I don't care.
And at the end of the day, if he wins, if he becomes great, people going to start jocking that. People going to start loving that. And you're going to probably start loving it.
I'm never going to love that.
Because when people didn't like Cassius Clay.
I lost my taste for him.
Since we in the boxing place.
Please, don't give me no Cassius
Clay. No, people didn't like him bragging and boasting and calling the rounds.
When you win,
people get on the bandwagon. And if Baker, I don't know that he'll win. But if he does, people are going to get on the bandwagon.
877-99 on Fox.
877-996-6369.
Are you with Chris soft soaking it, or are you a real man and you're with
really?
Me?
Oh, really? Real man?
Yeah.
He's being who he is. You would rather him be politically correct?
No, I would rather him have some
and
respect.
Back up and bend over and turn around
no,
and all that
all
mess?
That? We're not doing all that. I'm just talking about respect for somebody. That's all.
He may feel disrespected. He may have, for all we know, he may have run circles around Tyrod Taylor in training camp and still didn't get the starting job.
Is it always the coach, or is it the ownership and general manager that also has
the decision? The ownership and general manager probably wanted Baker to start.
Oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe that, because if they wanted to, they would go to Hugh Jackson and say that they want him to start, and he would start.
They were giving Hugh the rope. Now, eventually they gave him the rope to hang himself, but they were giving him the rope. Now, I don't know what went on in training camp. I don't know what went on behind closed doors, but Baker was offended by it. And look, I'm not saying he's the highest character guy.
I'm telling you, that's the guy who ran away from the cops. You remember that guy? That's the guy that you're now backing? A man who wouldn't even,
he is.
A man who wouldn't even stop when law enforcement came to him and asked him to stop. He tried to run away from the police. That's the stand-up guy you're now defending?
A lot of people have made mistakes as college kids.
It tells you about him.
And probably you,
not
Mr.
me.
Parker. You didn't make – you not were squeaky clean.
Squeaky clean.
What happened?
Nothing happened.
How'd you get so dirty?
We want to know.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Jim Gray, the Emmy Award-winning sportscaster, who is with Showtime on the pay-per-view call for this World Heavyweight Championship between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. And we've now got Jim on the phone. Jim, welcome to The Odd Couple. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chris. How are you, sir?
We're great. We got Rob Parker on with us as well. Let's get you both today.
Good to see you both today.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Jim and I go way back to when I first was covering the Cleveland Cavaliers in 1995. The Mike Fratello era.
Oh, man.
Right.
That was good basketball.
Yeah. Gordon Gunn was a wonderful man, hired me to do the play-by-play, and we had some fun.
Yes, yes, indeed. All right, well, Jim, this is – I mean, you've covered plenty of boxing. Explain to our listeners, like, this is being touted as the biggest heavyweight fight in years. How big is this fight, and what should fans expect? Should they expect excitement? Is it going to be boring or
a knockout?
Well, I think it's going to be very exciting. I mean, here you know, I'm not going to recite the statistics and all the knockouts and everything, but there's more than 60 knockouts between the two of them. Look, it's the lineal champion. If you go all the way back to John L. Sullivan in the beginning of the sport, it's the man who beat the man who beat the man all the way up through Rocky Marciano to Ali to Holmes and so forth, okay? Now, he's fighting against Deontay Wilder, and Wilder, you know, for 10 years, everybody's been avoiding this guy. He got the WBC championship. I mean, Anthony Joshua is sitting over there in England, who has the other belts, turned down $75 million. Now, go examine his mind. Go see if we can find out what's wrong with him, that he would turn down $75 million because he doesn't want to face Deontay Wilder. So that's how avoided this guy is, all right? So something's got to be wrong with his head, and I don't think it's concussions, but there's some sort of something wrong, brainwashing. Who knows what's going on over there with that? But he didn't want to take the fight, so he opened the door up for Tyson Fury to come back and try and retain his championship, and he didn't lose his championship in the ring. He lost it because of mental health issues, and he was not able to box during this period of time. So he's back now, so I think it's going to be exciting. The first round or two or three may be feeling out. It may be boring, but by the time they get into it, I think it's going to be, you know, it's hard to say something's going to be great before you saw it, but we hope it's great. I think it's going to be really interesting and fun.
Hey, Jim, is the death of boxing overblown? You know, a lot of people talk about UFC and it's past boxing. All the millennials are into that and not boxing. But is boxing making a comeback? Just give me the state of boxing, because I know like Fox and a couple other people are going to have boxing cards on a monthly basis now, and it looks like there's a little bit of a resurgence. What kind of shape is boxing really in?
Boxing is in really good shape going forward. I mean, there's you know, all the arenas are full. You look at what's going on when at Barclays. You look at what will happen here at Staples Center when we go to the MGM Grand. We go up into Canada, into Toronto, and Quebec, and these stadiums and these places are full. We go overseas and a Wembley Stadium when Joshua has fought is, you know, 75,000-80,000 people. A couple days after the horrible terrorist attacks, Errol Spence was in Sheffield, England, just outside of Manchester, and there were 55,000 people to see him fight Kell Brook. The TV ratings are up, and they are doing well. Fox is going to make a primetime play, and they're going to get into boxing once a month, plus FS1. ESPN now regularly shows boxing after years of being on a hiatus. In Showtime, where I am, we've had all the best matches for a number of years now, and boxing's very strong and very healthy under Steven Espinoza and what he's been able to do and the fights that we've been able to procure. So,
but
anybody who says boxing is dead, let me just give you this one statistic, all right?
Yep.
Take any athlete in the world, the guy who races the car, Schumacher, the people who play soccer, the football players here, and so on and so forth. For the past 10 years, the highest paid athlete in the world has been a boxer.
Oh, no doubt about that, but I just wonder about...
So I don't know, when you say death of boxing and people say death of boxing, that's ill-informed.
No, but this is what I mean. You have your niche audience and people who are really into the sport. But I bet you, other than Mayweather and a couple people don't know who the fighters, current fighters are a lot. I'm talking about the general public. And I think the other part that I think for
a
long time...
Well, that's true. That's true, too. But how many people know anybody on the Tennessee Titans?
No, I get it.
They just played on Monday Night Football.
No, I get
you. I challenge you right now to name six players on the team.
No, and you know what? I have a hard time.
That's nothing against you. I'm not trying to pick an argument, but I'm just saying nobody does.
But this is my other part, is did boxing lose a generation of kids because fights weren't on regular television like they used to be? All fights start at, 11 o'clock p.m.
Eastern.
You know what I mean? And, Jim, I used to watch fights as a kid on Saturday afternoon on CBS and on NBC with the fight doctor, Ferdy Pacheco and Marv Albert and ABC Wide World of Sports. I'm saying, did we lose kids who didn't grow up watching it is what I'm asking you.
Yes, you did, because it was only on Showtime on HBO. So the fact of the matter is that it did, because it could not afford to put it on network television and pay the fighters these type of purses. It's not, they don't have controlled labor costs like UFC. They don't have one guy, Dana White, where it's the only market in town. And Dana has done a magnificent job in UFC with Ari Emanuel and and Patrick Weitzel and Silver Lake, those people have been brilliant, and they've got a great product, and I respect and admire everything about it. However, they don't have anybody like Floyd Mayweather making $200 to $300 million a night. They don't have a guy like Anthony Joshua who can turn down $75 million because they have controlled labor costs. So it did have to go to this pay cable, and it does have to go to pay-per-view. And the same thing would happen with the NFL if Congress wasn't sitting there. They would not stay on network television. Everything would be like they have on DirecTV and the Sunday Ticket, and you would pay-per-view the games. But Jim, Congress is there, and Congress is going to say you can't do it. So, yes, they've lost fans, but they haven't lost their audience.
Jim, Deontay Wilder's 40-0 with 39 knockouts. That's an incredible knockout rate. But he hasn't captured the public imagination like a Mike Tyson, like a George Foreman back in the day. What does he have to do to get to that point?
Well, that's hard to say what captures the public imagination. You know, I often said about Mike, Chris, that, you know, nobody is attracted to calm. Everybody loves a hurricane, okay? And you want to go see the hurricane.
Right.
So, you know, Deontay Wilder's not jumping off of any bridges. He's not making any crazy proclamations. He's not getting into fights with reporters. He's not biting anybody's ear off. You know, he's not doing any of the things that, you know, attracted people to Mike. Plus, Mike was a great, great fighter. Mike was incredible. I mean, we haven't seen anything like Mike Tyson before, and we haven't seen anything since. So you're talking about once-in-a-lifetime people with Ali and with Tyson, and the sport doesn't get the exposure that it did. Maybe now, with all of these networks getting back involved in the streaming services, it will. So, I mean, Deontay just needs performance. The longer he can continue to perform, the more popular he will become. And look, he's going on pay-per-view now for the first time in his 10-year career. So we'll get to gauge just exactly where he is and see if he can capture the imagination.
Jim,
you know, he's a wonderful guy. He's a wonderful guy, and he's a tremendous talent.
We got about 30 seconds left. What's your prediction for the fight? Who do you like to win?
I don't want to get into that because when I do the broadcast, I don't want, you know, either the fighters to think I'm for or against them. So, yeah.
Just give us a breakdown with their different styles. How do their styles contrast to make a great fight?
I will say this. I think that in the pre-fight run-up, Tyson Fury has done a brilliant job of getting under the skin and antagonizing Deontay, and I think Deontay is ready to unleash 10 years of frustration on Fury, and I think that Fury is a better boxer, but I don't think that he's going to be able to withstand the punishment and the strength and the power of Deontay.
All right, there you have it. The legendary Jim Gray.
And Jim, I've always admired that you were never afraid to ask the pertinent question, no matter who it was or what the situation was.
Well, I appreciate that, Rob. I have tremendous respect for you and Chris. We all go back a long way. You guys do a great show, and thank you for having me on.
No doubt. Jim. Thanks a lot.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.